You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Hey guys, this is Brennicide, and look, I got some great news today. I went to the doctor, and he said that my T levels were not only normal, but just the flat-out best that he's ever seen, and I didn't even cry when he gave me my rectal this time.
I, too, have extremely high T.
Oh, yeah, really?
I've been getting those injections that they show on TV for guys whose boners don't work anymore.
Oh, really? You need an injection? I don't need one. It's great. It's just my body just naturally produces it so much. I don't even need steroids. I think steroids are for pussies. But last Father's Day, I went fishing with my dad. And you know what? For the first time, he looked at me. We were all by ourselves on the lake. And he said, son, you know, I never tell you this, but I love you, boy. And you know what? I looked right back at him and I put, ew, what are you, gay? some kind of gay queer.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my crew, my boys, my ride or dies. Go ahead. Let's roll call. Brennicide.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
365 days of horror.
How much you lifting, bro?
About 500. I mean,
only 500?
With just one barbell, you know, just the one arm bell, dumbbell, the bell, you know, kettlebells.
Cool, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I am extremely tickled. You know, long-time listeners of the show, or not even long-time, you know, recent listeners of the show will know that we did a dedicated episode with our buddy Metal Text, making fun of the work of Death Metal Underground a few weeks back. And so they finally found that podcast. They listened to it. They transcribed it. They got extremely ass-frustrated. And publish a post on Death Metal Underground about it. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm pleased as punk. So that couldn't have gone better if I, you know, planned it out, which I tried to.
you know, I was initially disappointed that they didn't respond. I was like, maybe they're above it somehow. I didn't think that was possible. So it's interesting that a week and a half after I forgot we ever did the podcast, they finally say something. what was that, like two months ago maybe we did that? Or
I'm going to say about 6 weeks. I know because I planned it out to the day that the podcast published, we also published the first round of the Sexiest Metal Dude competition. And I knew if they saw it, they would write about the podcast and then call us gay for writing about sexy metal dudes. And just call me Joe Stradamus because I fucking nailed it.
Joe Stradamus.
I mean, reactionary bed shitters are going to reactionarily bed shit. That's what they do. So they saw our work and they responded in kind with the, you know, very limited cognitive abilities that they have.
I was interested to see that it was actually Cullen Toner. I think the guy we ripped on the least to be the one who actually went all out and just cried foul over this whole thing. I really was just, I was hoping that it was going to be Daniel. I was hoping so hard because he's my favorite one by far.
I mean, we did get the short end of the stick here. We got the guy who's been with him on the JV for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we got bench warmer.
We got fucking Rudy writing about us. so that's a little disappointing, but I mean, it's not like Daniel Morat didn't chime in about it, so... I bet they're listening right now, so I just want to give a shout out to my boys, Cullen Toner. I've had a warm relationship with his mother for years. He calls me father begrudgingly. And Daniel Marat, he's the finest metal blogger in deactivated Soviet Russia.
You know, when I saw your back and forth with him, he said something about how there really weren't enough jokes on our podcast, which I was tickled by because it means that these guys sat here for an hour and listened to us. I don't think I've ever dedicated an hour of my life to hating something.
They took notes too, so they didn't just like listen once. They hit play and then hit stop and went back and made sure to get the words exactly right.
Yeah, but he was having a back and forth, said we needed more jokes, and Joe sufficiently roasted him by replying, yeah, you know what, we're going to try to do more of that for our ESL listeners. And hey, I think that's great. Look, a lot of people don't understand that sometimes irony, sarcasm, satire, these things hit language barriers pretty bad, and that the point gets lost. Especially on the internet.
I never really – I mean you made fun of him on the last episode about being basically foreign.
Right.
But I never really put it together until he told me, and I quote, "You need more joke for podcasts. First two Cullen Toner listed were good, then you ran out of steam. Just boring like toilet of whiny tears."
Definitely some Google Translate going on for him over there.
In Death Metal Underground – Metal Death's You.
Metal Death's You. Back when I was a teenager, I worked at a local grocery store, and this old Russian man rolled up with a grocery cart just full of items, like 2 weeks worth of food, and he rolled up to my checkout. He pointed out the cart and he said, the basket is empty. And he thought it was the funniest shit ever. And I didn't help things because I just started dying. I thought it was the funniest shit. And he just was convinced that that's how American humor works. So a great joke for Daniel would go as follows. Once there was an old man who had a grocery cart full of food, and he thought it was not full, but indeed that it was empty. You're welcome, Daniel. We do the best we can for you.
Who was the philosopher that laughed himself to death looking at a donkey? Like, that's the kind of humor that still resonates there.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so I guess we should just maybe talk about this a little bit, give some additional detail if people don't follow us on Twitter, which they should. You should definitely follow us on Twitter. My jokes are better there. Here, like, we have to write them all off the cuff. On Twitter, I get, like, an additional 20 seconds before I say something dumb. So, let's see. Cullen Toner, again, apparently this poor bastard's real name, wrote a post titled, "Cry-In, Staged Over Death Metal Underground's Dominance." You know, I don't know if you have an editor, Cullen, but... I could have helped you punch it up a little bit, maybe a little bit catchier, because I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, I think he tried his best, though.
Yeah, he tried.
He's at least getting some clicks from us, if anybody, you know. But we're a bunch of nobodies. What do we have, 12 readers overall?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's we'll get to that road when we cross it. It's coming up anyway. Okay, so... I woke up the other morning and like a bunch of people had tagged me on Facebook and Twitter. They're like, oh, look at this shit. So this piece begins, "Dude, did you hear what DMU did this time?" Which is not a sentence I've ever heard anyone say to me. DMU does a lot of things. Most of it is bitch about like Marxism and, white people marrying non-white people. It's not exactly like cutting-edge shit. Anyway, so it begins, "It has been such a great few weeks of salt-mining liberal tears that I almost forgot there's still a culture war being waged in the metal scene." I'd like to note that the first, this bit about salt-mining liberal tears is a hyperlink that goes to 4chan's board Paul, which is the fascist... right-wing, extremely racist political message board on on 4chan. Like, they get a special corner for, you know, their own little racist central.
If there's anything that really strikes fear into the hearts of us liberal snowflakes, it's fascist 14-year-olds with Kekistan flags.
Yeah. Jokes on you. This this Kekistan flag only looks like the Nazi flag to trick liberals. It just so happens that we also hold a lot of the same beliefs.
LOL, got you.
Bad haircuts, too.
That, too. Poor hygiene. I don't know. I think Nazis would probably be pretty pissed off that these shitty little basement dwellers with neckbeards are trying to cop the Übermensch ideal. It's the Unter if there ever was one, man. Like, anime-obsessed metal nerds, the worst.
The natural progression of the master race.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll continue the piece. Cullen continues, despite Antifa not shutting down any metal shows since being soundly emasculated in the Battle of Berkeley, despite the indie metal scene becoming its own indie metal landfill to mirror the indie rock landfill, and despite Death Metal Underground celebrating surges in viewership, there is still plenty of sodomizing the week to do.
Plenty.
I can't get enough of fucking other males. That's not gay at all.
Right. And I watched that Battle of Berkeley video he was referencing, and it was pretty much like a big shoving match, like a big slap fight between some Antifa guys and some Trumpkins, some flag-waving morons. And somewhere, I don't know, maybe in the middle part of a video, it shows this pink polo shirt Trumpkin kid just full-blown slug, like, a girl half his size right in the face. And she falls down and then kind of gets up without a scratch. And I'm tickled pink that they think that's really cool, that they're just punching women as hard as they can and it still doesn't really do anything.
I'd like to give a couple of quick tips for any young Kekistanis out there planning on taking down the black bloc on your own, you know, just showing those weak-wristed liberals what's up. To do it properly, to properly knock out a leftist, you need to make a fist by shoving your thumb in the middle of your palm and then closing your finger as tight as possible around it.
And then make sure that when you dump over a trash can on a liberal block, that when you do, you pretty much just bend right at your back and then grab the bottom of said trash can. And then just in the quickest, jerkiest moment you possibly can, just hurl your lower back up as quick as possible and knock that shit right over.
Yeah, you got to jerk and twist. Jerk and twist.
Jerk and twist.
Hyperextend your knees as much as possible.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can continue. Although this has been stressed by the recent rampant rumors of cry-ins being held over Death Metal Underground, reminding the world that death metal isn't pretty, only recently have I been blessed with audio proof of one of these whiny snowflake sessions. And again, I'm reminded why I answered the call to take time out of my comfortable life to write these articles. Few things bring more joy than the suffering of beta males disgracing metal.
Well, as long as we can inspire him to come out of his very comfortable life to sit in a chair somewhere and write a post on a blog site, I mean, anything we can do to get the kids out of that rut and really get them up by their bootstraps to do something really powerful and serious.
I mean, this piece must be upwards of 500 words. This could have taken him, geez, almost 30 minutes. So good on you, pal.
It's 500 words, but only about six sentences because there's so many run-ons.
let's go get right back into it because this is where the fun really begins. Today's gift comes via the courtesy of Toilet of Hell, likely named after Death Metal Underground's former home, anus.org, as a desperate attempt to pander to the Blast Beat Network advertising Circle Jerk in hopes of joining their ranks despite being pathetically short of web traffic. For those who aren't familiar with The Toilet, aka everyone, Toilet of Hell is an openly homosexual indie blog whose all-male staff once posted a contest to find the sexiest dude in metal. Beyond their staff openly embracing their homosexual tendencies with rainbow arm brands on their sleeves, Toilet of Hell is just another hipster metal sucks light blog who review Limp Bizkit albums in yearning for their high school days wearing JNCOs. Who, buddy? There's a lot to unpack on this one, so let's get right into it. The Toilet Hall is not named after anus.org because 12 people ever read anus.org, and I'd say 11 of them are probably sitting in a prison cell somewhere for trying to incite a race riot. We are not attempting to pander to the Blast Beat Network advertising circle jerk because, if you will notice, Toilet of Hell does not run ads. Do you know who does? Death Metal Underground. Who is the fucking sellout bitch poser here? Just saying, we're not after those clicks. Someone else is.
There was that Limp Bizkit review. That is true. That someone did post that on our site. But it's if you do actually click on it and read it, it was not a positive review by any means. I think it was just a look back on what he could have possibly enjoyed at some point and then just unpacked it at a more advanced age.
It was a fun little memory of my middle school days wearing JNCOs, at least. And McNulty did a good job, even though I don't agree with him, because he says that Break Stuff is not a good song, and that's a lie.
Well, Significant Other as a whole is a 5 out of 5 album. And if DMU is indeed listening, I'm not kidding about this.
Let's see. We're openly homosexual.
Yeah, that's true. I am. And I'm proud of it. I actually went to Pride in Boston, as I mentioned in the last podcast. And I said I didn't go there on purpose, but I was just so embarrassed that I didn't want to tell you guys because I thought that you would tell Death Metal Underground on me, or that, you know, my fears were true that they actually listened to this podcast and they would beat me up with their strong, manly arms.
When you were at Pride Fest, did you dress up like the new gay icon, the Babadook?
The Babadook is the new gay icon?
Yeah. Yeah. Get with
How
the
come
times.
I didn't hear? I'm Dad Rock, guys. I don't know.
So I think it was a Netflix mistake had put the Babadook into LGBT, like, recommended movies, and then people really embraced it. So the Babadook is now a gay icon.
Yep.
Fabulous.
It's canon now. It's kind of been everywhere, and it's been a lot of fun. My girlfriend is just tickled pink by this thing. She showed me this song generator that somebody had made about the Babadook. It's called, like, The Babadook is One Thick Bih. It's delightful. If I can find it, I'll add the clip to this episode. But this is it's a really interesting idea that there is something inherently bad or shameful about being openly homosexual or showing any kind of homosexual tendency. I don't quite get it because as far as I know, homosexual behavior has been around since the beginning of mankind. And it's kind of pervasive across like tons of cultures throughout history. So,
well, I mean, as like men, grown men who are in relationships with women, it's kind of hard to feel really insecure about our sexuality at this point. We're not 17 anymore. That question comes up at some point in someone's life where you go, oh, am I gay? And then you just think, no, not at all. Or, yeah, I am.
I think it's not even that straightforward. I think that you know, sexuality exists very much on a wavelength.
Yeah, on a spectrum.
Yeah, so I mean, there's the Kinsey scale. People are like, you know, I'm not super into women except for this particular kind of women at this particular time. And that's fine. Who the fuck cares?
I don't know. It's just like I'm at a point in my life where I'm confident enough in my heterosexuality to say, like, yeah, that dude is pretty bangable, and I don't, you know, feel weird feelings about that. It doesn't even faze me. I don't see why it terrifies them so much that maybe some regular ass dudes can just talk about other regular ass dudes being somehow attractive in some form or another.
It's projection and repression.
You're probably right, which is disappointing because I added some super hotties to that sexiest dude in metal poll. Like, if you're scrolling through that and you're not sporting maybe half a chub by the get by the end of it, like, you're really missing out on something, so.
Just half staff, yeah.
And people are super into it, too. Like, I know Relapse has retweeted it out. Andy from Every Time I Die. You know, a whole bunch of people are into it, and I don't know what the problem is.
No, it's a great idea. And I mean, honestly, all jokes aside, the reason that you did it is obvious. Revolver has been printing out that, you know, Hottest Chicks in Metal magazine cover for years and years, and you just kind of wanted to give a sort of funny answer to that. And this is just something that no metal blog has really ever done, especially a male-driven metal blog, because God knows why we would. But it's hilarious. People are having a great time. They're having a lot of fun with it. I think the comments are hilarious. I think it's so funny watching dudes get upset when their sexy dude loses.
I totally agree. Like, Link was like, you're all dead to me.
Sorry, Link.
No, it's been so much fun. People have really enjoyed it. I've been getting a kick out of Doug Moore's reaction to this. Because, like, his girlfriend is super into it, and he is not.
My wife has agreed with just about all of them, because you guys didn't pick any, like, big, fat, long-haired dudes. And I think that was a sore misjudgment on your guys' part. Man, but that's always, okay.
You could always go for another tournament in the future, too. It doesn't have to just be this one.
Seriously, Andy Williams was, like, my, like, bear pick for the competition, and he's killing.
Yeah, yeah. You could have done more, though. You could have picked, like, I'm blanking on the name, but, like, Dino Cazares or whatever his name is. So, like, really ridiculous.
No. Like, as we said, sexuality exists, you know, on a spectrum, and I'm sure there are lots of people that are like, yeah, Dino, sexy. I don't get it. I do not see that one at all.
All right, well, you're submitting me for the next one, then. I'll just get my best pick.
Billy Milano.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no, that's, I have the opposite of a boner now. It's like goes inside.
Reverse.
2004 era Devin Townsend.
Does he still look like a bald weirdo?
The skullet.
Oh,
with the skullet, yeah.
We can do, like, baldest dude in metal.
Best hair.
Best hair. Again, like, George Clark was robbed. Robbed.
Ah, George Clark was robbed. You guys know how I feel about George Clark.
Yeah.
That was a sad day. I think that people skewed the contest as to who was their favorite performer, and they just completely blew it on who is actually the sexiest metal dude. God damn shame.
See, it's funny because, you know, as you mentioned, like, we've gotten a pretty solid response to this, but I am tickled most by the people who are not into it at all, the people who are kind of mad.
Right, and in that case, it was just eloquent troll bait of the fact that you put this out there and then just knew people were going to get upset. And what kind of fucking numpty would get upset over this?
Where is your joy? Where you don't enjoy anything.
Just like, where's the fun in life if you can't just have a like a crazy kill fuck marry game, you know, somewhere in the opposite gender once in a while? I don't get it.
Some people take themselves extremely seriously, which brings us back to Cullen Toner.
Yes, indeed. So
I would like, just, before we get back into this, I would like to thank Cullen because he hyperlinked to three extremely popular Toilet of Hell articles, which really does us a solid with our Alexa score. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, but because God knows we need it.
I also just wanted to point out another wrong thing you said was that we had an all-male staff, and that's actually not true either.
Yeah, we do have at least one woman who's written for us over the years. Which would be 1,000% more than have ever written for Death Metal Underground in their 20-year history.
Where else in the article are we at? Is there anything else you want to share? Or
we're about halfway down, and we're getting to my favorite part of this. Well, we're a paragraph ahead of the juiciest of it, but this one's fun because it talks about me.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah. Cullen continues. On one of the posts, one of the writers, who unlike me is too pussy to write under his real name, gets permission from his parents to invite some of his weird Twitter friends, a collective of failed musicians and Mega Man gifs, over to weep in sorrow for over an hour while they play Death Metal Underground's greatest hits. Although I've been dying for someone to reply to the merciless abuse I've been dishing out, and admire these children for having the guts to sort of do so, despite hiding behind pseudonyms guaranteed to preserve their virginity, Joe Thrash and Kill, the attack on Death Metal Underground is really just a demonstration of their poor education as they struggle to read, let alone comprehend, the intellectual supremacy of our articles. Why is Matt Forney their cover image? Worse, they admit to obsessing over and stalking women on Twitter, frequenting the comment sections on Death Metal Underground articles, and being triggered at the moment their friends say, "Dude, did you hear what DMU did this time?"
There that is again. Look, Mr. Toner, I don't know if you've ever read your own site as a contributor, but I got to tell you, reading Daniel Marat's work is just objectively a fucking struggle, okay? I mean, I've seen DMU readers share legitimate concern over whether or not he is dyslexic in the comments section. I mean, that guy is a piece of work. There's just no grammatical sensibilities. Nobody edits his stuff. Nobody looks at it. They just let him post it and they go, "Yeah, that's fine."
That says a lot about what they expect of their readership.
Yeah, honestly.
So, I mean, why did I choose Matt Forney as our cover image? Because Matt Forney is the representation of what Death Metal Underground is. White nationalist, incel, reactionary asshole. That's you, buddy. They're a lumpy, misshapen piece of shit called Matt Forney. So, there's that answer. They admit to obsessing over and stalking women on Twitter. I believe that was when Metal Tech said that he likes reading Grim Kim's tweets and follows her on Twitter.
I think he made a joke about obsessively tweeting at her.
Yes.
But again, we're talking about Death Metal Underground. They don't know how jokes work. I realized that Cullen Toner is from New Jersey. I believe he is anyway. So I don't know what his excuse is. I can understand if maybe Daniel Marat didn't get it, but I don't know. I think he should kind of consider how reading comprehension works if he were to ever read our stuff, and, you know, maybe listen to the cues for irony and sarcasm once in a while.
I mean, we could start using emojis. It sounds like he might need additional help. Like,
yeah, Cullen, just give us your number. And while you're listening to a podcast, let me know and I'll sit there, listen with you, and I'll just sort of tweet out some upside down smileys so you get it when it happens.
Winky face, pumpkin.
Let's see. We admit to frequenting the comment sections on Death Metal Underground. I have read the comment sections on exactly two Death Metal Underground articles. This one and the one where your readers were talking about the pros and cons of a particular hentai artist. Again.
That's right.
Again, buddy, that speaks volumes about you and your readership.
I mentioned looking at the comment section because I knew we were going to do this podcast, and maybe like a few days before we did it, I just kind of looked around on them a little bit because it was kind of the meat and potatoes of their community. So maybe did a little bit of research here and there. I'll admit it. I'm bitter.
So let's get to the money shot.
Oh, this is my best. This is probably my favorite part.
Cullen. He of the real name Cullen, and apparently proud of that for some reason, continues. In today's climate, every metalhead has a choice. Do you want to be the no-fucks-given outlaw metal alpha that defined death metal in its glory days, or be the nerdy, emotional, sensitive, depressed, butthurt, virgin, indie, wine rock, beta cuckold of the social justice warrior era? If you chose the latter, there's a home for you in the Blast Beat Network and their followers. And thanks to Toilet of Hell, you can hear the nasally voices of this cultural Marxist movement here. Caution, their testosterone-deficient voices will hurt your ears. We've compiled some of their greatest hits below, and he thankfully transcribed some actually pretty good owns that we had on them.
Look, I'm not going to lie, guys. Outlaw Metal Alpha sounds like a lot like a Japanese anime we should be watching.
I don't know how to be an alpha. I don't think I ever have been an alpha, but I do know that if you want to be an alpha, you have to tell people you're an alpha. That's the only way it works. How will they know otherwise?
Well, I'm an outlaw metal beta because I know sodomy is legal in some states.
I don't even know what this means. The Blast Beat Network, we're not on the Blast Beat Network because, again, we don't run ads. It's an advertising platform. And I love the cultural Marxist remark because that's one of the go-to talking points of Breitbart at the moment is the cultural Marxist. And I will tell you straight up, Colin, I am a socialist, and it's fucking awesome. So there's no cultural Marxism, it's just Marxism.
Yeah, I thought they were all into socialism being, you know, Nazis and what forth, but
Of the nationalist variety, it's a little different,
How? No, it's not, right? That's what the people told me when I said Bernie was a socialist. They said, you know who else was a socialist?
I kind of do want to be an outlaw, rebel, alpha, metal blogger.
Renegade.
Just fucking putting on a leather jacket before sitting down in front of your MacBook Pro to write out 500 words about how angry you are at this podcast.
Well, while we're focused on our good friend Colin Toner here, slightly delighted in probably a way I shouldn't have been about the fact that he revealed that Colin Toner is indeed his real name, which I thought was surprising because the last show we're like, no way. So I found out it's really Colin Toner. So I'm like, okay, let me just Google this guy real quick. Maybe we can say I did it obsessively like a maniac because that's what we do. So I just type Colin Toner in and the first hit I get is his dedicated metal archives page. And boy, what a treat. First of all, it gave us a photograph of him, and boy, what a manly man.
I haven't looked. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, he's I think this picture's a few years old, because if you look at his band camp, he has a more recent photo. But it's pretty much just a little wiry, short white dude that's got just kind of wispy facial hair. I imagine that when he talks, it's way manlier than any of us. I'm just positive. I'm sure he was really confident that we weren't going to acquire knowledge of his Cradle of Filth cover band that he's in when he ran his mouth. But lo and behold, we did. He's in a band called Angel Side, which I believe at this point is just a one-man band because I can't imagine anyone wants to stay around this guy for too long. He calls himself Maelstrom in his band. That's what it says in Metal Archives. So this guy's giving us all sorts of shit about pseudonyms, but he calls himself Maelstrom. So it's like the Neil Jameson, Lord N. Imperial Diddy Dog situation all over again for me. I'm getting shit on by these black metal douchebags for the names that I use, but fuck ever. But it also says here that the name Maelstrom is taken from the Mutilation song Through the Funeral Maelstrom of Evil. Which I got to kind of come out and say that can't be entirely accurate. I don't know if you guys know this, but the term maelstrom actually comes from the term, maelstrom, which is a whirlpool in like the sea or something. So I'm not sure if he's aware of that or not, but I hope that we help him out in that regard.
Well, it's because there's male in the word, so he had to use it.
Ah, that's right. How could I have not known?
Cullen, I call myself Joe Thrashenkill because my real name is stupid. I'm just saying we're in the same boat here. I would not be at all be opposed if you called yourself something cool too.
Okay, but my absolute favorite part on the Metal Archives page is and this is at the bottom of his bio here. According to a 2009 interview, Maelstrom is a descendant of Irish gypsies as well as Norse Vikings that invaded Dublin, Ireland in the 10th century. So what you're fucking telling me is you're just a white Irish guy like everybody else. Like, why do you gotta?
Oh man, I bet
blam it up so much.
I bet he's got a shitty four-leaf clover tattoo.
Some sort of Celtic armband that he's just so proud of.
He gets drunk once a year on St. Patrick's Day and talks about how badass Boondock Saints is.
You're just some fucking gingy Irish douche like the rest of us, man. You're not like it doesn't make you say, "Oh, I am the descendant of the Norse." fucking clown.
I'm white trash. So is this guy. So are most people.
Yep.
It's not, I don't know. I don't give a shit about what my ancestors did. They're dead. I don't know.
Do you know what I am? You know what I am, Joe? I'm an American.
That's fair, man.
Yeah.
Should we get into some of these comments? It was fun. I had a lot of fun with this.
Oh, sure. We may, might as well.
Let's see. My favorite comment. Vigilant says, I feel like if you're going to tell us that this website held a sexiest man in metal contest, then you should mention who won. I agree, Vigilance. The good news for you is this contest is still ongoing, so you can get in your vote now.
Absolutely. Get on in, man. We'll take your vote and we'll run with it.
Let's see. An article about Limp Bizkit. We should probably all go read it so that we can make fun of it.
That'll show us.
That's almost assuredly McNulty, the guy that read the that wrote the Limp Bizkit article.
Cynical says, beating one tiny blog isn't quote-unquote dominance. Even a site like Cult Nation is getting four times as many hits as you guys are.
Damn. Getting right to the point.
To which Colin Toner replies, Cult Nation is part of the Blast Beat Network, which is heavily funded by offering paid advertising services on top of plenty of startup cash from Umanov Guitars being conveniently located in New York's most expensive neighborhood. A lot of that revenue gets spent on expensive SEO packages that drive up the web traffic. So it's impressive that Death Metal Underground is getting better numbers than some of these sites, including DecibelMagazine.com, despite them being the only metal zine sold in stores these days. Are they really getting more hits than DecibelMagazine.com? Is that possible?
Actually, I think I think we're getting more hits than DecibelMagazine.com.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, I stand corrected.
There was something that was fucked up with their site for a while. They're trying to, like, revitalize it now. They got a new editorial staff, like, really recently. It was kind of a clusterfuck. That's not, like, a big victory on Death Metal Underground's part. That's a failure on Decibel's part.
Just everybody's part. Well, hopefully
I would like to tell Colin, like, you can just listen to our fucking podcast episode with Vince and he explains how the fucking Blast Beat Network works. Number one, Vince lives in Gowanus, you know, like a super fun site. That's not the most expensive part of New York, you fucking dipshit. Number two, he doesn't own Umanov Guitars. He owns the Blast Beat Network, you stupid fucking asshole. Number three, there is no startup cash. It's a goddamn advertising network. You just sell space on your site. You get paid based on CPC metrics, you fucking dipshit. This is not complicated business, but apparently you're too goddamn dense to listen to two podcast episodes to not put your own stupid size 5 foot in your own tiny mouth.
Joe, listen, when a man raises his voice, it triggers me. So next time, could you just, you know, not be so angry?
I'm triggered by idiots who don't fucking do the least bit of research about business before they pretend they know what the fuck they're talking about.
Oh, no.
That's the one thing that really triggers me. I'm sorry, guys.
It's just triggers. It's okay. We all have our triggers, but we can't let them trigger us. Okay? Okay. I just care about you. I'm actually a little gay for you, too, so just... Same. Make sure that same. Yeah, same. Okay, Outlaw Metal Alpha says, please deploy your intellectual supremacy. I'm sorry, supremacy, and correct the grammatical error that occurs two sentences later.
I thought Sans had a pretty good comment at least for a little bit before it went off the rails. He was on to something. He had a thread and then he missed it. Toilet of Hell is essentially what a metal blog would look like if it was written by goons from Something Awful. I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably about
right. I'm proud of that. That's fine.
Although I doubt they are actually Something Awful goons, they behave a lot like them in that they pretend they're jokesters who are above it all, but in really, they're leftist partisans. Yeah, I'm with you. Who impotently rage against anyone who doesn't share their ideology. I mean, again, we talked about our impotence at the beginning of the episode. It's fine. They're not even competent partisans. They use memes and unfunny jokes to hide the fact that they don't know how to argue. Well, just as an aside, I don't much see the point in debating Nazis. It's more fun to just make fun of them. I'm not going to pull out my logic fallacy flashcards just to be like, ad hominem, that was the Dutch wheelbarrow fallacy.
Dude, I love the logical fallacy flashcards, man. That's my favorite. I actually told the guy, you're going to do that now, are you? And then he started doing it. And then I was just like, so you did the thing I told you were going to do. And he then replied with a logical fallacy about how, I don't know what the name of it, but I just tried to defuse the argument by stating the argument that I was going to make before I made it, which is a logical fallacy.
I believe it's the Tunisian rim job fallacy.
Oh, my favorite. Yeah, that's it. I think at a certain point, especially later down in the comments, the toileteers start weighing in, and it gets a little more obvious as you go. Unless the writers of the articles here can bench 225 for reps or some other demonstrable strength or masculinity benchmark, they should probably cool it with the referring to everyone they don't like as quote unquote beta males. I agree with to a point, I suppose.
I do bench 225 for reps and then some. And I'm totally cool with calling myself a beta male, so.
Yeah, Joe actually works out. I don't know if people know that or not. He actually goes to the gym and does the things that I don't think these guys have ever even considered as part of being the alpha males that they just must be in their dominance.
I feel bad for spending, like, shit, we've been recording for 45 minutes now just hating on Tell and Conor, and I feel like we can do better.
Yeah.
What's been going on in you guys' life?
Jordan?
No, I just like the silence every time Joe asks us serious question.
That's my favorite thing. I go through the wave files at the end of this, and I look for the giant gaps of silence where you guys try to make me look like an asshole. It's fun.
Oh, man. Nothing special. You have a new member in your family that's far more important than anything we've done this week.
Hell yeah, brother. I got a little three-legged pug adopted to my little family. He's the best, man. His previous owners were shitbags who let his leg get infected and didn't bother ever taking him to the doctor once. And then he got real sick, and then they were going to put him down. And thankfully, someone from a pug rescue group like came in and took him and amputated the leg and got him back and healed. And he's just the best. He's the best old dude.
He is. He's got such a cool head. It's just he just looks just a little bit more messed up than Franklin. Yeah, I like him a lot. What?
He's not as pretty as Franklin. His name is Nathan.
Nathan Explosion, right?
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Well, tell Nathan that I love him and that, you know, I love him three times more than any other pug. So what's been going on in my life? I've been just extremely frustrated trying to get some sort of YouTube channel situation off the ground. I just somehow, I don't know why, but I got the audio file bug in regards to recording audio, and I'm just trying so hard to do something quality, and I'm reading up on how so many different YouTubers try to record audio, what their setups are like, and you wouldn't believe some of the complicated bullshit these guys have set up in their fucking living rooms when it comes to doing these videos that hardly anybody watches. I got a boom mic stand. I got this ridiculous expensive AKG studio level microphone that some idiot at Guitar Center oversold me. I got XLR cables, I got interfaces, I got preamps, I got it all set up. And then I stood back and I just looked in my living room and I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. This is too much. I can't live like this. So is that Franklin or is that Nathan?
That's both of them, man. Great. So they get along really well, but they're constantly wrestling and making a lot of noise, and they decided where they really need to do it is directly beneath my chair.
Splendid. So I took it all back to Guitar Center. I went to this guy's store like three times, and I just, at the end of the day, I just had everything in my arms and I just dumped it on his desk, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. You know, I can't. So I went to Best Buy and I bought a Blue Yeti microphone, which you guys are hearing right now. So if it sounds good, go get one. They're great. And it just plugs into my freaking laptop.
Let's get that blue money.
You're right. Delete that. Edit it out. Blue. What's a blue? Anyway, I got a USB microphone and it just plugs in and I don't have to give a shit.
And now you sound like smooth jazz Brenicide all the time.
Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, there's that T, man. I'm getting it back.
All right, Ben, I'm calling this an episode unless we got something else to add.
I would touch on Colin Toner's band Angel Side, but there's really not much to say, unfortunately. I really wish he had something interesting, but there's just nothing.
I did find an interview he did back in 2010.
Oh, tell us a little about.
Well, if people are really interested, and I will plug this blog because it's worth reading. It's alcoholicosto.blogspot.com. And in this interview, he talks about the many, many bands that he's been in the past. He mentions that he has seen snuff films. He uses an anti-gay slur when talking about metalcore. He says, and I quote, "I don't care about financially supporting bands. Sorry, that's not what music is about to me." So that's fun. And then just a final question or quote, he says, "In fact, a lot of metalheads are the most close-minded, insecure, and uneducated people I've ever met." And that's just a lot of fun.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was interesting at the beginning of his post, he called us failed musicians, even though I'm just barely getting started. And I think I sold as many albums as he did on his album that's been out for about a year and a half now. I don't know. Is he a successful musician? Does he just assume that's what that's like?
I mean, I guess he's fucking killing it.
Must be. He must just be hawking CDs. I'm not seeing.
I am a failed musician, but I didn't ever try super hard, so I can accept that failure.
I'm sure he can relate if you've ever heard his music.
Ayo. I don't have a whole lot to add, man. Colin Toner, if you ever want to make out sometime, give me a call. Daniel Murat, not really into foreign guys, but, you know, I'll try anything once.
You can shut your eyes real tight and stuff your ears with cotton so you don't have to listen to him.
Brett Stevens, if you're ever able to put your giant ass in a hover round and leave the house, I'd love to make out with you one day.
Yeah, I think that Brett Stevens, Daniel, and Colin, if you guys could just submit your best photos to us, we're definitely going to get you guys in the running for the next Sexiest Dudes in Metal and cue top model music, because you guys, I think you're a bunch of cuties.
Yeah.
And I stand by my opinion.
Definitely going to put that in the contest and not privately hoard it explicitly for jerking off.
Oh, you rascal.
I don't know, man. Jordan, give us something to go out on.
Bernie would have lost.
Oh, fuck you. You son of a bitch! All right, everyone, we'll see you next week.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.